Good day, and thanks for tuning in this weekend edition of Radio On The Go News. Reporting from the Radio On The Go newsroom in Hampton, I'm Sean Dietz. Well, as we look ahead to the upcoming week, we're tracking a mix of early morning frost and a significant warm-up. We'll start off with Monday and areas of frost before 7 a.m., but skies will be sunny with a high reaching the upper 60s. Late Monday night into Tuesday morning, things will get a bit more active. We have a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1 a.m., along with windy conditions. That system will pull in some much warmer air as Tuesday's high is expected to climb to 81 under mostly sunny skies. The wind will stay with us through the middle of the week after a breezy Tuesday night with a low of 48. Wednesday looks beautiful and sunny with a high of 71. Stay tuned. We'll have more with that regional weather forecast coming up following the news. Well, we shift gears now to the planting season. And after heavy rain, scattered snow earlier this spring, and widely varied temperatures during the past month, Iowa farmers are making up for lost time by getting a significant amount of planting done this past week. Angie Reekins is a field agronomist with Iowa State University Extension in north central Iowa. She says many producers in her region have struggled with weather conditions that were far from ideal.
A lot of people really just got started about last Friday or so, just because it had been so wet. You know, mostly north of 3, there's probably a good percentage of stuff planted. You come a little further south, it's a little bit less.
The USDA crop report that came out earlier this week showed soybean planting was at 27% compared to 11% the week before, while corn plantings had bounded from 22 to 42%. Reekins is expecting more excellent numbers in the remainder of this week as long as the weather holds.
If we have a really good day in the state of Iowa, we can plant about 950,000 acres a day, so that's pretty substantial. And given how low that planting progress report was, I think we're somewhere around maybe 40% of the corn planted, right? We can knock off some significant chunks of acres in a very short time.
Temperatures have been particularly uncooperative for planting, with 80 degrees one day and temps dropping below freezing the next day. Reekins is hoping things have stabilized for the time being.
Our soil temperatures are supposed to stay at around 50 degrees or so, and really that's where we want them. We want nice warm soil temperatures to help protect that seed. We don't want overly cold soil temperatures. We don't want an overly cold rain.
Speaking of rain, she says growers in the Story City area got around 7 inches of rain during April, which is well above average, and some areas got even more. Well, recapping a story we brought you earlier this week from our friends at Radio Iowa, a bill that would require passive radon mitigation systems in every new home or duplex built in Iowa awaits the governor's signature. Senator Scott Webster of Bettendorf, a home builder himself, says it's far less expensive to install a pipe in a home's foundation during construction. A fan to vent radon out of the home can be installed later if the gas is found at high levels inside the house. Radon is the leading cause of lung cancer among non-smokers. Radon also has been linked to stomach and skin cancer. According to the Environmental Protection Agency, the entire state of Iowa is at high risk for radon inside homes and other buildings. Sticking with political news, Republican Jim Carlin, a candidate for U.S. Senate, says major changes are needed in U.S. monetary policy. Carlin says the federal government's budget should be balanced and the U.S. should return to the gold standard. From 1879 to 1933, the U.S. used the gold standard, which tied the supply of currency to the amount of gold held by the federal government. Critics say the gold standard prevents governments from central banks from lowering interest rates during an economic crisis. Supporters, including Carlin, say it would stabilize the value of the currency and promote savings. Carlin is running against U.S. Representative Ashley Hinson in the GOP primary for U.S. Senate. Locally, a hot mix asphalt paving project is scheduled to begin on, this past Thursday in Wright County. The project includes work on County Road C-25 from Madison Avenue East to Highway 69, along with 185th Street and Nelson Avenue East to O'Brien Avenue, then north to C-25. Residential streets around Lake Cornelia are also included in the project. Wright County officials say the contractor plans to mill the residential portions of Sandy Beach Road, 186th Street, Odell Drive, Cornelia Drive, and Park Circle, that took place on Thursday and Friday. Milling on C-25, 185th Street, and O'Brien Avenue will begin on Monday. The project is expected to take up to 4 weeks, weather permitting. A map of the affected area can be found at radioonthego.com. Well, we'll hang out in Wright County here for just another moment. Wright County Board of Supervisors will meet on Monday morning in Clarion. The board will convene at 9 a.m. in the boardroom in the courthouse basement. Agenda items there include consideration of a 2080 agreement between Wright County and Wright County Communications. The board will also receive the monthly revenue report from the Wright County Sheriff and consider opting back into the Community Services Network with the Iowa State Association of Counties. The supervisors are also scheduled to consider a hire for a clerk position in the Wright County Recorder's Office, appoint the Wright County Independent as the county's official newspaper, and consider a contract with Cost Advisory Services Incorporated for fiscal years 2026, 2027, and 2028. The Wright County Board of Supervisors meet Monday morning, 9 a.m. at the courthouse in Clarion. To city government now, the Hampton City Council will discuss community and policy matters during a workshop session on Monday evening. Among agenda items there is a discussion and a request from the Hampton High School class of 1976 to place a permanent memorial bench in Banshell Park. Council members will also discuss a request to establish a loading zone at the southeast corner of 1st Street Northwest and 2nd Avenue Northwest. The workshop will also include discussion about the future status of residents previously approved to keep chickens within city limits. The issue follows the council's failure to approve the third and final reading of a revised chicken ordinance during their April 23rd meeting. The Hampton City Council workshop begins at 6 p.m. Monday night at City Hall and is also available to view on the city's YouTube page. The Sheffield City Council will address infrastructure, public safety, and financial matters during their meeting on Monday night. Among the major agenda items are discussions on roads planned for the fiscal year 2027 TIF road project and possible approval of bids for repairs on Brickyard Road and South 1st Street. Council members will also consider adding stop signs at Gilman Avenue and 3rd Street with additional traffic control discussions planned elsewhere in town. Other topics include a public hearing and resolution related to the city's fiscal year 26 budget amendment, an update on Sheffield's 150th celebration, and discussions with the Rural Fire Board regarding construction of a fire station. The Sheffield City Council meets Monday night, 6 p.m. at City Hall. Well, two North Iowa students have been honored for their academic excellence at the 24th Annual Governor's Scholar Recognition Ceremony held April 26th in Des Moines. West Fork senior Ivy Hartman of Sheffield was recognized for her achievements both in and out of the classroom. Hartman grew up helping on her family's tree farm and has been active in 4-H and FFA, holding several leadership roles. After graduation, she plans to attend NIAC to earn an associate degree in accounting, then continue on to the University of Northern Iowa for her master's. Hartman says the recognition felt good and that the experience was very cool. Also honored was Ronald Jake Minardi, a senior at Hampton-Dumont Cal High School. Minardi has been involved in student council, concert band, jazz band, honor band, and all-state auditions, and has earned multiple scholastic art and writing awards. He plans to attend Johns Hopkins University to study neuroscience with hopes of a future career in research or medicine. Minardi says the award makes him feel seen and credits his educators for helping him reach this point. You can read more on that story in the Hampton Chronicle coming up next week. Also, another story coming to the Hampton Chronicle next week. 96 students were honored this past Wednesday night at the Hampton-Dumont Scholarship Foundation ceremony at HD Cal High School, receiving a combined $368,425 in awards. Foundation Board President Rachel Heltzkov told the Chronicle that the organization brings together a wide range of scholarships, allowing community members to support students based on what matters most to them, whether that's agriculture, healthcare, teaching, or other career paths. Heltzkov, who has served on the board for 11 years, says it's been inspiring to see longtime donors continue their support while new partnerships form. She says the foundation's mission is to unite the community, celebrate graduates' accomplishments, and help build a stronger, brighter future for the next generation. And finally, this weekend, as On the Go Media continues to push the motto "Push Play on Local," new data released from the U.S. Census Bureau is highlighting the massive impact of those small businesses as the nation's smallest entrepreneurs. Coinciding with National Small Business Week this past week, the Census Bureau reports that non-employer businesses, those that have no paid staff, now account for more than 78% of all U.S. establishments. These independent ventures brought in a staggering $1.8 trillion in revenue in 2023. That report also shows a significant shift in who's leading the way. The number of businesses owned by women jumped nearly 20% over the last several years, while firms owned by minority women saw growth of nearly 50%. To help aspiring entrepreneurs start or grow their own ventures, the Census Bureau is offering free tools like the Census Business Builder to help research competitors and locations. Resources and links to these data tools are available under this story at radioonthego.com. When you support a neighborhood shop, you aren't just making a purchase, you're also investing in the people and passion that keep our rural communities thriving. So remember to push play on local. That's all for news this weekend. We thank you so much for joining us, and you can find more online at RadioOnTheGo.com and HamptonChronicle.com. Don't forget, a new edition of The Chronicle hits newsstands on Tuesday afternoons and in your mailbox for subscribers on Wednesday. You can follow us on social media. We're at Radio On The Go on Facebook, X, and YouTube. Hampton Chronicle is on social media at Hampton Chronicle on Facebook and Instagram as well. Stay tuned. We'll have a look at your regional weather forecast coming up. Reporting from the Radio On The Go newsroom in Hampton, I'm Sean Dietz, wishing you a pleasant weekend.